reporting on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you
down. Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. In a story that will have seismic consequences is that it appears two things. One, among insiders, including Republican lawyers, they are increasingly concerned that Trump will be indicted. That means Trump is increasingly concerned that he will be indicted. And number two, he is more than strongly considering entering the presidential race before the midterms in November, possibly this summer, possibly this month or next month. Let's unpack that. That's a very, very, that'll have important consequences. I want to talk about that. Why are they afraid that he will be indicted? For two reasons. One, in Fulton County in Atlanta, the DA, the grand jury put together by the DA, has now subpoenaed Lindsey Graham and Rudy Giuliani and John Eastman, the lawyer. Giuliani and Eastman were the architects of the so-called Green Bay sweep, where they were going to have Pence not accept the certifications and then turn it back to the legislatures and keep Trump in office. And Lindsey Graham is one of the people, you know, in medieval Europe, you'd occasionally have a courtier who was so sneaky and weird that he would go back and forth among factions until he ended up on the gallows. This guy was pro-McCain and anti-Trump. Then he was anti-McCain and pro-Trump. Then he was anti-Trump. Then he was pro-Trump again. Then he was anti-Trump. Then he was pro-Trump. And somehow he gets away with it. Well, in one of his pro-Trump iterations, Lindsey Graham apparently called Raffensperger in Atlanta, the Secretary of State, and say, you better come up with more than 11,000 more votes. You know, that's part of the extortion. You know, Raffensperger had a lot of guts. He is a good Democratic opponent, so I'm not for Raffensperger, although I was in the primary, because he had a Trump type against him in the primary. But Raffensperger, remember, he gets a call from the president saying, you better come up with 11,500 some odd votes, or you may be criminally charged. And then he gets a call from Lindsey Graham, basically saying, come up with those same votes. Now, you know, one thing he could have said, hey, Lindsey Graham, this is Georgia Lindsey Graham. You're from South Carolina. Who the hell are you? Well, he didn't say that, but he could have said that. But Lindsey Graham's been subpoenaed. And then Eastman is the architect of this scam. So there's some fear that he'll be indicted for that, for extortion, which he should be, because if that happened with organized crime, with drug cartel or anything else, you call a guy up and say, do something illegal, or we'll criminally prosecute you, or we'll hurt you. That's classic extortion. That's a classic felony. It's always prosecuted. But the other one is after Cassidy Hutchinson. It's clear how much Trump knew. He was warned. He knew his people were armed. He said, take away the magnometers, which are the metal detectors. They said, but sir, then they'll come, they are armed. Well, they're not here to hurt me, and let's go up to the Capitol. Well, if they're not there to hurt him, who are they there to hurt? You don't carry an AR-15, brass knuckles, knives, guns, spears. They took poles and put spearheads on them. Not to use them. Who are you going to use them against? There are only two kinds of folks up in the Capitol, police officers and legislators. And this was an armed insurrection dictated by him. And he did everything he could to go along with them. He can be indicted for that. And the equation that people have been juggling is this. It's obvious that he can be indicted for it. It's obvious that he could be convicted. In a democracy, if a presidential candidate is beaten, do you have the incoming president and his Justice Department prosecute the outgoing guy? That happens in Africa. It happens in Islamic countries. It happens in communist countries. It happens in criminal countries like Russia. That's where it happens. And the thought is, well, it shouldn't happen here because a lot of people don't pay attention to all the nuances of the news the way we all do. And they go, well, that would be wrong and it would start a civil war. On the other hand, if you don't prosecute it, why won't it happen again? Trump runs in 2024 and he loses. Why doesn't he do it again? Why doesn't DeSantis do it when he loses in 2024? Why should we continue with this? And increasingly, people are coming down, including some Republicans, saying you got to prosecute him. This is not somebody in Africa or the Middle East or Asia doing it. This is blatant criminal conduct. Blatant criminal conduct. The problem for the Republican Party is this growing feeling that if he does it now, it'll affect the midterms in 2022. They want him to wait till January. And he's afraid he may get indicted before that. And he wants to preemptively do it because if he's also a candidate now, not just the former president, his belief and some people's belief is that makes it extra hard to indict him. I come down this way. I don't care about the nuances of strategy and tactics. I do not care about the impact one way or the other on elections. You've got to take a stand the way Liz Cheney took a stand, Adam Kinzinger took a stand, Cassidy Hutchinson took a stand, and they're all Republicans. How about everybody else joining them and taking a stand and saying, yeah, we are going to indict this guy, and we're just going to explain to the QAnon types in the fringe, stand down, get out of here, and the rest of them, this guy committed felonies. Go to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today? Mark from the SAC.
Yeah, you more or less took the words out of my mouth. It doesn't matter if he's a candidate or not. I mean, a guy could say he could shoot somebody and then say, well, I'm running for office, so you can't. And Trump even said he could shoot somebody and not get indicted for it or get charged for it. I mean, that it's ridiculous that a man could use running for political office as an excuse not to face the consequences. I mean, it is just, when are these guys going to face the consequences? Like this crap of that we're going to pay for the legal fines for Gableman. Gableman commits a crime and we pay for the fines rather than he himself pay for the fines. If it was an ordinary state employee doing something like that, it committed a crime, says, well, I was a state employee at the time I committed this crime, so it is just, and the contempt for the judge is aside from the whole thing for his investigation. I mean, his contempt for that judge has nothing to do with the investigation that he's undergoing right now. So nuts to that the judge should just say, nope, the state is not going to pay for this fine, Mr. Gableman. You're going to pay for it. You're the one that's going to end up in jail. I mean, if the state's going to pay the fine, then the judge should just say, well, in order to punish you, Mr. Gableman, you're going to spend time in jail. In addition to, I hope, the sanctions that the profession takes out against him.
Yeah, you're making excellent points. And yeah, let me just kind of expand on what Mark from the SAC just said, because it's important. First of all, with Donald Trump, you know, he did say early on, and he this is his idea of a joke, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and I wouldn't lose any votes. And, you know, that part of it is a joke. But the people who were armed on January 6th had guns, many of them. They had AR-15s. They had guns. They had knives. They had brass knuckles. They had homemade spears with poles with spearheads on them. And he said, they're not here to harm me. Let's go up to the Capitol. Unleash them on what? Police officers guarding the Capitol who are outmanned and legislators. And legislators. And I think you have to prosecute that conduct. That is beyond the pale. That is not just, oh, let's go after the last guy in office. Like, say Biden leaves office and the next, if it's a Republican, prosecutes Biden for what? No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about violence. We are talking about a violent insurrection. And on Gableman, this absolutely kills me. First of all, why isn't Voss in this thing? Voss is the one that had the obligation of the open records laws. He hires Gableman. Let's say that Domino's Pizza hires a driver. If the driver speeds on the way to delivery, okay. If the driver pulls off, goes into a 7-Eleven with a gun, shoots the clerk to rob the 7-Eleven, Domino's is not going to pay his legal fees. Domino's not going to take responsibility. That was not within the purview of his employment. With Gableman, he made an off-color insult to the judge and a female lawyer on the other side about what she was doing to the judge in chambers. That is not something taxpayers should pay for. I mean, come on. That's not something that they should pay for, and they shouldn't pay Gableman's legal fees to defend it or defend the discipline of him. There are now four lawsuits against him, and three of them, judges have ordered him to stop destroying records. Why isn't Voss dragged in there? He's the principal. Gableman's the agent. If the agent commits misconduct, it's attributed to the principal. It's attributed to the principal. Voss said, well, I didn't even look at the request. He just gave it to Gableman. He said, well, I didn't look at it real strong. Yeah, they're deleting things. They're deleting things. And now we are paying for their defense to contempt. And we're the taxpayers. That's wrong. The Republican Party should be paying for this. Or the donors should be paying. Where's this Uline guy? What happened to him? Why isn't he donating money? They are raiding our treasury to defend misconduct and to defend an inquiry that is going nowhere and it's fraud in its inception. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back at it.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You're crying all the time. You ain't gonna...
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open. 844-967-2789. We'll go overseas for a second. Germany and Ireland together have slammed the UK for reneging on the Brexit deal. What's that all about? Why does that affect the United States? I think it's a potentially very serious thing, and here's what it is. The UK is one of our strongest allies, and they've really stood up to the Ruskies, the criminal Ruskies, the terror state, what they're doing in Ukraine, the genocide in Ukraine, sending weapons to Ukraine. The United States has too, and sort of all the other European countries. But the UK got out of the EU. They broke away a couple of years ago, egged on by Trump. Putin had interfered in that election, just like our 2016 election, putting out false information and all that. Anyway, narrowly, they got out of the EU. But when you get out of the EU, one of the benefits of being in the European Union, the EU, is that there are no tariffs and there are no borders within Europe. It's very much like the United States back in the 1770s and 80s. Each of the states were like a separate deal. And when they got together as the United States, you can travel to Illinois, Mississippi, Florida, or California. You don't need a passport. Nobody checks you on the way in and out. You set up a company here and you make something, you can sell it in California and not pay tariffs and so forth because we're united. Well, Europe became united after two devastating wars in the 20th century. And Britain dropped out of that for a lot of reasons. But that meant that suddenly, with regard to Britain, there would be borders again, including economic borders and potentially tariffs. So they worked out a deal in Ireland, the UK owns 6 counties in Ireland. Ireland has 32 counties. 26 of them are in Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, and 6 of them in Northern Ireland, the basically what used to be called Ulster, not all of it, but some of it, were taken by Britain and not given back to Ireland back in the 1920s. What happened was in the 1990s, Bill Clinton, one of the great presidents of the 20th century, and Tony Blair, one of the two greatest prime ministers in the 20th century of Britain, got together and they worked out a deal. And they stopped the troubles, the violence, the sectarian violence in Northern Ireland. And it was terrific. So somebody in Ireland manufactures something, they can sell it in Northern Ireland or England. England or Northern Ireland can sell it in Southern Ireland. Goods go back and forth across between Northern Ireland and Ireland 7 times, sometimes, before they're brought to market in Europe. Well, Boris Johnson, the conservative Tory prime minister, thought, well, I want to get the unionists in Northern Ireland on my side, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to impose a border between Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland that was abolished by Bill Clinton and Tony Blair, and that had led to violence. And so he's renewing the specter of sectarian violence in Ireland. That is despicable. And why is he doing it? Because the EU had worked out a deal with him where his goods from England or Scotland or Wales coming into Ireland would be checked at the border of the Irish Sea. Irish Sea divides the rest of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and then it can go anywhere it wants after it's been checked. Well, now they want to move that checkpoint down into the land border with Ireland and Northern Ireland, and that's what caused the troubles back up through the 1990s. Boris Johnson is in trouble. 2 of his ministers just resigned. His cabinet thinks that he may be on his last legs. I don't necessarily want to see that. He's stood up to the Russians and Ukraine, and they are our ally. But at the same time, we cannot have violence in Ireland again. It was put, the British have caused a lot of problems in Ireland for 500 years, and it's about time they stop, flat out stop. So Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, you know, the United States has said, look, UK, you're our friend, but we're not going to have you do that. And if you do that and get into a trade war with Europe, that's going to have consequences with us. I've got a solution, Britain. Get back in the EU. You never should have gotten out. Once you get back in the EU, there's no border between Ireland and Britain because there's no border anywhere in Europe. That is what you should do. Get back in. They're not going to get back in right away because Boris Johnson, unionists, and the rest oppose it. The Labour Party over there, Tony Blair's party, has gone so far to the left and is so weak that it can barely win elections. What we need is a strong Tony Blair-type character in the Labour Party, which is the equivalent of our Democratic Party. That's what we need to get back into power over there. Going to the lines quick, Jack in Milwaukee, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Jack?
It's an honor to speak to a true patriot and a man who loves his country.
Thank you, Jack.
I listen to your show quite frequently. I heard something on there that if this is not a definition of insanity, I don't know what is. I think you know there's that saying about the definition of what insanity is. But anyhow, this squirrel calls in. I think he's from Sussex. Anyhow, this squirrel, I think his name is Gary. He calls into your show 2 days in a row asking the same question. I don't know if he's just trying to blame Nancy Pelosi for this January 6th insurrection, but he keeps asking, I don't know if he's expecting a different answer. He keeps asking, why doesn't the why wasn't there an FBI investigation of Nancy Pelosi? I don't know. Like I said, I don't know the point of the question. Anyhow, but if you recall those rioters that breached the Capitol on January 6th, they were calling out, Nancy, where are you?
They were going to kill her. They were going to kill her.
Exactly. They ransacked her office. They defecated on her desk. They urinated on her chair. I mean, they were, like you just got done saying, Matt, they were out to harm her. So why should she be investigated? What a stupid question. All I can say is this. Gary's nuts. Grab him.
Jack, I got to go to a break. That was terrific. Those of you who are on the line, don't hang up. I'll get back after you right after the break, and I'll respond to Jack. But, Jack, that was a magnificent. You're absolutely right. You laid out the facts perfectly. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Lucky me, can't you see I'm in love?
The lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right back to the lines. I just want to comment on what Jack said. That's exactly right. I do want to say one thing, though, that I welcome all callers. And so I do not single out any caller, whether or not I agree with their views. So that part of it, I think we have an open mic for good faith people calling in. That said, the business of going after Nancy Pelosi and the FBI and all that, take a look at that video and listen to the testimony. They were up there to murder Nancy Pelosi, and they were up there to murder Mike Pence. They said, hang Mike Pence, and they had a gallows. And then, oh, Nancy, and they trashed her office. So any kind of feeling that anybody has in the Republican Party that somehow it wasn't Trump people doing this is just plain not true. But that said, I do welcome people calling in. I appreciate the calling in, and would not single out any caller. We're going back to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Dick of Madison?
A little bit more on the criminal Robin Voss. I mean, here's a guy who pilfered money from the COVID fund for his business. Now, that's fine for a legitimate business, and his business is legitimate, but here's the same guy that basically said COVID was nothing, except you had to have a HAZVAC uniform on to even vote, forced everybody else to vote in person, and then you've got this Gableman. I mean, where did he find Fawn Hall, the secretary for Gomer North, to shred his papers now? I mean, these guys all, in my mind, where is the attorney general of the state on this? Can't he do something?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I mean, we're going into election, and obviously, if, you know, I was the chairman of the Democratic Party, and I'm supporting the whole Democratic ticket, and the people running on the Republican side have no business being in office. At the same time, I would like to see a lot more aggressiveness in terms of some of these prosecutions. I mean, and let me tell you something about Gableman. He just went over $1 million. He just went over $1 million. And there is no cap. There's no cap. And there's no sunsetting of his contract. Now we're spending money, a lot of money, you know how expensive lawyers are, to defend him in contempt charges. One of them where he made into an open mic, a lewd suggestion off color about the judge and the female lawyer on the other side. Why the heck are we? Why are my tax dollars paying for that? Why is that consistent? Why is that consistent with what? I mean, I'm a taxpayer. So are you. That's just plain wrong. But the lines are lighting up. We're going to go on to Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Good morning, Matt, and thanks for giving the people in Wisconsin all over the country a voice on your station. I've got a question. Now, if I missed this, I've kind of been out of the loop for a couple of days here. the Supreme Court is reacting, I believe, to January 6th, and here's why. If you know the, say, the Federalist Society, the Heritage Foundation, National Review, all these think tanks, they realize that Liz and Adam are opening a can of worms. They may not be able to close. So they think this is their last-ditch effort to put on a offensive move through the Supreme Court. It's directly related to January 6th. Am I out of my mind, or tell me what you think?
No, look, what's going on here, Bill, and you have always nailed it when you called in, I don't care if you're Republican or a Democrat, you know, and you can be a conservative or liberal and so forth. The point is, we got to have integrity in our government. We simply have to have integrity in our, you have to believe that when all is said and done, you go to bed at night, you can sleep well, because you know that honest people are running things. They may have a different point of view from you, but it's honest. That's gone out the window. That's gone out the window, as you point out, and that's got to be restored. It's flat out got to be restored, and I'd like to see it restored in both parties, and that means the Liz Cheneys and the Adam Kinzingers coming to run the Republican Party and not the crowd we have in there now. Thanks for calling. Next, we're going to go to David of California. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, David of California?
Oh, morning, Matt. Yeah, I tuned in late, so I didn't catch the full intro of everything that's happened up there. But the first thing I was going to raise, whether it has to do with January 6th or whether it's the fake electors, there's a coup in the works, and there's just no doubt about it. And the Republican Party is deeply involved in it, and the first thing I would do is yank their corporate charter. There is no reason to allow an institution to do fundraising with fraud as its intent. A corporate charter, it doesn't even imply, it mandates that the whether it's a business or a nonprofit, has to do some service to the community. There's no, if you look at 1776 logic, they intentionally didn't allow Tories to do business in an area after 1776 because they were seen as saboteurs, and that they were basically pilfering the people's economy and sending that money to London. And so when you start looking at the way the Republican Party is acting right now, they are still doing that. And it's funny, I've called a couple of the business shows around northern Illinois trying to get the, you know, the Chicago Board of Trade does business mostly in agriculture, but in a number of other commodities. And since both Michigan and Wisconsin do a large amount of trade with the Chicago Board of Trade, right. To get the Chicago Board of Trade to either discount the business from the businesses of the Republican Party, to see them as organized crime, to see them as traitors, to see them as a bad faith business, and that their business is not respected by the Chicago Board of Trade. And it gives the opportunity for Democrats to move in on those businesses. So, for example, if
I understand what you're saying, Dave. No, it's a fascinating idea. I'll throw out a couple of things in terms of certainly out here, and I think nationally, if you revoke any kind of so-called right to do business of a political party, you're going to run into First Amendment objections, which in general, even with parties that I strongly disagree with, I would be sympathetic to. In other words, now, what would happen if, say, the Nazi Party or ISIS were to set up a party in Wisconsin and that kind of thing? There, at some point, if it comes down to violence enshrined in a constitution, I think you'd have some different discussions. But to be very candid, the Republican Party is not close to any of that. You do have people in the Republican Party like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger who are people of exceptional integrity, even though I may not agree with their position on some other issues. And so what you have here is a larger contest going on, in my judgment, between democracy and opponents to democracy, in other words, authoritarians, between integrity and people who use any means to keep power. And the fact is, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. I'm using a term from the great poet. Fascism, he said, the fog creeps in on little cat's feet. Well, fascism creeps in. It's not a guy with medals at your door kicking in your door. It's a briefcase and a lawyer slipping into your state. And suddenly you have gerrymander. Suddenly you have a Republican Supreme Court in Wisconsin saying that the Republicans still have power, even though the Democrats won the gubernatorial race. And that is the contest right now. But I really appreciate your call. Gary of Sussex, my friend, your name was taken in vain, and I want to give you a shot at a call. We've come two minutes before the break, but Gary of Sussex.
All right. Well, the difference between Jack and I are I'm actually a happy guy, and I don't think you ever hear me calling up and whining and yelling and calling people names, telling them they're insane, only because you have a difference of opinion. But that's the difference between Jack and I, you know. Now, I was going to mention, and that's all I want to
throw
say about.
In. Jack's a good man. I think he's happy.
I'm not
too.
Saying he's not.
But go ahead, Gary, because this is your forum. Go ahead.
Okay. And I do appreciate the fact that you at least clarified it to say that even though you agreed 100% with what he said, which kind of made me feel a little bit bad, but I've got tough skin. And you did clarify, well, we do allow people on this air. On the air here to have difference of opinions. Can you imagine how boring your show would be if you didn't have people like me calling up once in a while and trying to say, hey, you know, maybe you should look at it this way, and maybe half the people in the country look at it this way, you know? And I was going
to
also say
phone.
That...
We've got to go to a break, but I'm going to ask Sam sure. to patch you back in right after the break because I want to give you a full chance to have your say. Appreciate you calling in. Sam, put Gary in right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Downtown Waukesha. We are all things hemp. Edibles, flowers, chocolates, Delta 8, 10, P, and O. We also have clothing, shoes, jewelry, toiletries, but most importantly, education. Come into the store. Let me educate you on all things hemp. Whether you smoke it or wear it, come and get it at Mary Jane's on Main. Or you can see us every Saturday at the Farmer's Market. I'm Mary, and let me show you how hemp can help you.
Everywhere. I've been to Louisville, Nashville,
welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we're going back to the lines. We're going to Gary of Sussex. So, Gary, I just wanted to say, I'd like to hear everything else you have to say. And also, just so you know, all callers are treated with respect on this show. And my points of view are quite obvious, and I'm happy to listen to any points of view. And I think that that said... you know, passions run. So,
the thing is, Matt, at least to my face, you're very respectful to me. You always have been, and you've always let me feel welcome. Do you know what it's like to call up on a radio station for maybe it's been like 4 years, and every single time you just get ripped apart? And I just want to know whether Jack has the balls to go out there and call up a conservative station and just kind of open up his opinion, which is welcome as far as I'm concerned. It should be. And he should be treated with respect. But the fact is, yeah, it's really easy when you got a gang of people just ganging up on one old guy, 7-year-old guy from Sussex that sits there and just has his opinion and just ripped apart, you know.
Well, Gary, let me just jump in because I do want to respond to that. Jack is a very good man. He calls in a lot, and he has, in my view, very good things to say. I don't encourage, lots of dialogue between callers. I prefer to address ideas, and that's what I'm doing. So I definitely defend Jack on that. I defend your right to call in as well. I'll say in very conservative stations, a liberal can't call in. And if he does call in, he's ridiculed and thrown, that isn't here. So what you're saying is the people that listen to this show, that listen to this station, are tend to be more moderate to liberal, and for good reason. And it's what I believe. Having said that, I also believe in free speech, strongly believe in free speech. So I think that when people call in and mention another caller, that's not something that is a part of the show, but people are people. And Jack's core point was that there are people on the right, I don't know if you want to comment on this or not, that say it was Nancy Pelosi or the FBI that did January 6th. Well, I think that's ridiculous. He made the point, and this is not personal, he made the point that they came in there looking to kill her and they defecated in her office. Now, you know, I don't think any reasonable persons can say she orchestrated that, that she orchestrated it. That's all. And so what I would say to everybody out there, and I have many good friends, all of you, and callers, is instead of concentrating on one another, let me hear your ideas and let me respond to them. Let me respond to them. But I defend Jack wholeheartedly in his call-ins. They've been, in my view, very good. I defend your right to call in wholeheartedly. And so I just wanted you to know that, Gary, and I appreciate your calling in. Thanks a lot. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind at Wisco Paul?
Hey, hope you had a great fourth, Matt. Gary just received more talk time than I ever would on Right Talk Radio. It's just the way it is. You know, you have lots of callers, and you don't have a long time to get them all in. 2 hours goes by pretty fast. But I don't mind Gary calling in. I just wanted to bring up a whole, and I'll make one other fact. Trump is a criminal and needs to be prosecuted as such. Get going there, Garland. But I read an article. It's about the Mississippi River and Lake Michigan. As you know, the Southwest is going through a 1,000-year-plus drought. And there's politicians, and I wish I had the article in front of me. Anyway, they'd like to divert water from the Mississippi River out towards Arizona. I think I got the state right. Also, there's talk of putting a pipeline from Lake Michigan out there because, you know, the Colorado River and the reservoirs out there are drying up. So that is impossible, is it, Matt? I mean, you know, Foxconn's sitting on all that water down there on Lake Michigan. I don't know who has the rights to this stuff is what I'm trying to say. I, for one, I wouldn't mind helping people out, but wouldn't it be better to some other way? Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, let me tell you the law on that and the history on that. There was a guy, he had a great phrase, Lee Dreyfus. He was the Republican governor of Wisconsin. He was elected in 1978. He served one term, and I knew him. And he was a good guy, Republican governor, very good guy. Anyway, he once said, somebody said, should we ship Lake Michigan water to the west? And he said, we should ship Lake Michigan water to the west only when we sell it in 12-ounce bottles, meaning beer. And it's a great phrase. Remember something. The Great Lakes border on Canada. Canada has rights, too. They're international treaties, and nothing is going to happen. Nothing's going to happen without Canada agreeing, and even if the rest of the states gang up on us, even if the U.S. Supreme Court gangs up on us, I think we have a solution. Now, the entire West is sort of dependent on the Colorado River, believe it or not, one river. You know, there are many millions of people in Phoenix. They depend on the Colorado River. Many of the people in the West do. Now there's been a drought. I would strongly be opposed to diverting the Mississippi River, much less Lake Michigan and Lake Superior probably, simply for the West. You realize the Great Lakes comprise about almost 25% of the fresh water on this planet, 25%. And I absolutely want it to stay right here. There are constant attacks on it. They were going to let Foxconn, the state, you know, Scott Walker, for instance, take out something like 7 million gallons a day and then dump 3 or 4 million in waste without putting in an environmental impact statement so we wouldn't know what it was. We've got to stop all that. So the good news is nothing's getting diverted anywhere unless the compact with Canada is supported. Canada wouldn't agree to it. So what's going to happen 100 or 200 years from now, I don't know. But I think for right now, we're going to be okay. Let me quick go to another subject to throw out there in the mix. We know that there are a growing number of election officials in this country who are either speeding up retirements or changing careers or resigning as the elections approach, even in November, because of death threats and constant threats. But here's an example. There's an outfit, a town called Yavapai, Yavapai, Arizona, where the two top elections people just abruptly quit because of threats from Trump supporters. Leslie Hoffman is the recorder. That's the position down there that administers elections. And Lynn Constable, she's the elections director. She's been there 18 years. They say, we had enough. They go to the grocery store. They're shouted at and threatened. Kids are threatened. Spouse is threatened. They don't need it. A lot of spouses are going to say, you got to quit. We're not going to put up with that. Here's the problem. There are also a number of secretaries of state candidates who are running this time, over a dozen of them, who basically sworn allegiance to Trump. They say the last election was rigged. They buy Trump's thing. They say that the legislature should have overturned them. If they get in, what's going to happen is they've said they won't certify an election that's won by a Democrat. Now, can you correct that? Yeah, in the courts, takes a long time, very expensive, very time consuming. So they go to a court. But remember, who are the top judges? 6-3 Republicans on the U.S. Supreme Court. And they have increasingly been saying, with regard to state legislators, that really in the Constitution, a lot of this stuff is up to the states. They are doing a case out of North Carolina that they are going to hear argued this fall, that is arguing that a state legislature under the Constitution, under an article in the Constitution, has the final say on election-related material. In other words, that even a state Supreme Court, can't affect it or overturn it. Even a governor can't veto it. No federal court, including the Supreme Court, can do anything about it. If that happens in the red states, what's going to happen is the gerrymandered legislatures will pick the presidential electors, including swing states. Georgia is a red state, really. You know, Arizona is technically a red state. Nevada, very mixed. You are going to find this cooked up in the parking lot. It is essential that honest people get elected Secretary of State. And we even have one in Pennsylvania, a guy named Mastriano, who's the Republican nominee for governor, who's like a Mike Lindell pillow guy. A Mike Lindell pillow guy type guy. And Pennsylvania is a weird law, the only one in the country, that says the governor appoints the Secretary of State. So it'll be like my pillow guy appointing Gableman type guy. They are not going to fairly administer the elections if this guy wins. Fortunately, we have a candidate in Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, who's ahead of him in the polls by about 5 points. That's not a lot. That's not a lot. If Josh Shapiro, the attorney general, does not win and Mastriano gets in and appoints a crooked secretary of state, they're not going to be...